Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome into another edition of Infection Podcast. My name is Nick Craig. You can follow me on X at Nicholas M. Craig. Of course, check out our website. It's infectionpodcast.com. Well, look at this. This is some sort of 80s retro wave background you've got going on,
Brian? Yeah, it's kind of like the whole retro wave cyberpunk.
Yeah, look at that. Good stuff. Brian with an I, Aldridge. What's up?
Yeah, if you want to find me at Boyce Computer on X, or of course at Brian Aldridge on Gab, Getter, Truth Social, and a few other places. So, Nick, we had you ready to jump in? Is there anything you want to cover before we go? We're good to dive right into the news.
Let's do it.
All right. So there was something interesting that happened this past week with Apex Legends.
Old Apex. Okay.
So there was an official competition happening that in the middle somehow. And different aimbots and other hacks started being installed on the PCs during the competition.
Really?
Which seems very odd. Yeah. So the original claim was, and this is 20 hours ago this claim came out, that the Apex anti-cheat software, I don't remember if they're, are they easy anti-cheat? They are.
Probably.
Yeah. Easy anti-cheat. That somehow it hadn't been installed through the Easy Anti-Cheat software. And, you know, of course, that would be a bad thing because there's a lot of games that use Easy Anti-Cheat. It's one of the top or main anti-cheats that are out there.
Oh, wow. This literally just pops up in this guy's screen. Is there audio on this? Can we play this? Let's see. Hold on. Let's listen to this. Let's see.
One flash. Where?
Jack Bullet here. On my ping. I knocked him there.
Yep.
Wait, what the fuck? I'm getting hacked.
But I know, it's
sure.
Can you play the game?
Bro, I'm getting hacked.
I know, but can you play?
Yeah, but it's cheating. The fuck?
I know.
What?
Like what?
No, but is what? It fucking up your game?
Yes, I can see everyone. Like I'm.
You need to leave.
I didn't leave the game, right?
I'm leaving.
Bro, like what the?
Admin's down.
Wow, that's pretty awesome.
Right in the middle of the competition. So somehow. Sat there and installed hacking software in real time on their computers to where all of a sudden aimbots were running. They could see people, you know, through wall hacks, everything right at once.
That was awesome.
You know, you probably figure, you know, someone's like, oh, I got hacked. Because if their aimbot all of a sudden shows, well, no, this was legitimately like they didn't install and it freshly installed this. So, here's a quick, it says the volunteers at the anti-cheat police department have since issued a PSA announcing there is currently an RSC exploit being abused in Apex Legends that it could be delivered via from the game itself or its anti-cheat protection. I would advise against playing any games protected by EAC or any EA titles. So that was kind of the initial statement. Now, Easy Anti-Cheat has said that, you know, of course, they say they're washing their hands of this. They said there is no RCE vulnerability within EAC. So they're claiming more that it's an actual Apex Legend somehow with their implementation or in their their software that it's allowing this to happen.
Yeah, so this would be this would be the equivalent of somebody taking some sort of query and pasting that in the chat, and if they don't have proper protections in there, then it would allow that to be executed. It's a remote, as a PHVCK in chat is saying, remote code execution. When you're not checking, when somebody would be allowed to execute commands externally from a chat window, that's a remote code execution. Very popular in phishing and scams and things like that. That's this poor bad, guy. Huh? Well, and his one friend's like, well, can you keep playing? And he's like,
I could, but I've just killed...
He killed everybody with some
way to get professionals banned. I mean, you just install that's a great way. Cheat software, ban. You're the last one standing. You're the only one not installing it on yourself. Now, Easy Anti-Cheat, here's what they said. We have investigated recent reports of a potential RCE, remote code exploitation, issue within Easy Anti-Cheat. At this time, we are confident that there is no RCE vulnerability within the EAC being exploited. We will continue to work closely with our partners for any follow-up support needed. So pretty much saying we're going to reach out to the game, you know, the studio and work with them to help get this fixed. But, you know, it's not actually Easy Anti-Cheat making this happen.
I do think it's funny. Did you read the line below this? This is the first time they put a post out on their Twitter account since 2019. It's been five years.
They had to.
And they're like, well, this makes us look really bad. Now, I am looking at Apex's Twitter, and this is what they say on theirs. They say, due to competitive integrity of this series being compromised, we have made the decision to postpone the NA, I assume that means North American, finals at this time. We will share more information soon.
Huh. And PH is making comments, and it's backed up in this article. Reacting to EAC's cheat, Anti-Cheat PD said it indicates the issue lies within the source engine itself, which Apex Legends uses, and that it could be similar to a vulnerability that was detailed in 2021. So this makes it kind of a bad deal, because when it's an engine problem, that means they have to go through and update their engine code to be compatible with a newer version of the engine that should have this patched, which isn't always an easy thing to do. I would assume there's a reason they're not keeping current. And it's done through via game invites. So they figure out there's a way to pretty much send a game invite. So if the target user accepts the invite, then the PCH connect string gets added to the command line when launching the game.
Correct.
If the game is already running for that user, then they will receive a game rich presence requested callback with the connect string. So that would allow somebody to do... do not have to already have to have the game started. You can specify additional start parameters in the game process, which will then append at the end of the command line. And so I don't know if he can. It sounds like you can receive a request if you're already playing, and it will do something.
Well, if
you're not running it, you have to accept the request.
The fact that it's obviously doing this through command line would indicate that you could curl or wget or something to download a piece of software and execute it.
You could run a batch file, pretty much. You could create a batch file, run it, and then have it pull whatever you want to the local system, as long as it doesn't pull up some sort of a user
page or installer or something like that. In this case, it might have just been a what would be described as a portable file, a portable exe that ran this anti-cheat. And then because you notice it just immediately popped up on his screen, to it. And then he's like, what's going on here? Now, unless this guy's the greatest actor of all time, which is possible. We have seen in the past where people have accidentally alt-tabbed to their anti-cheat. That
and all
has
of a
also
sudden
happened.
Their anti-cheat's on, laying on top rather than...
Yeah, wrong screen. So we've seen that. So unless this guy is the greatest actor of all time, which obviously is not likely. He was obviously very surprised that this took place. He's actually live right now. He is... Let's see. I've got to watch it. I have ad block installed. Why is there an ad playing? I guess Twitch is.
It looks like what they do is they make a zip file that has all the files in it, and then it'll send the zip file and then probably unzip it and run.
Yeah. So he's watching people react to his stream. So that's what he's doing right now. He's got got 11,000 people watching right now. So as long as he doesn't get permanently banned, which it doesn't seem like is very likely, this is probably the greatest thing that's ever happened to him.
Oh, I know. Yeah, it's made it to where he is seen, which is what you want to be.
Definitely.
What do you want?
A little viral
Twitch world. Yeah. So cool. Yeah, I mean that was something I wasn't expecting, because normally you don't hear about games that easily turning around and installing it, cheating software.
Okay. I'm going to correct you, because I think you'd want to be corrected on this. I doubt anything was installed. This is likely a single, this is a one-time portable file that's
probably
running
it from
in
a
the
folder.
Back. Exactly. It's running in a temp file. It would be running in a temp file if it was a zip that was downloaded. So it's not like this. So to say this, I doubt the guy's computer is infected with a virus. Now, what is interesting about this, though, and as I pull this article back up from Secret Club, this was a vulnerability from April of 2021, Brian. That's going to be 3 years coming up here.
Yeah.
Well, that's what seems so surprising to me. Now, obviously this only works if you're running Apex. Does Origin still exist? Is that where people play? I guess people are just playing it on Steam now. But I mean, that whenever I played it, or Apex, I played it on Origin. But I guess maybe now everybody plays it on. To full admission, I have not played Origin or Apex Legends in
a while,
probably 6 years or something like that. But yeah, that's pretty interesting. And the fact that they haven't responded to their tweet from 22 hours ago saying anything else, I think is a pretty good indication.
And there's a full chain exploit for this available on GitHub. And it pretty much allows you to steal whatever data, deploy malware, execute whatever you would like, pretty much gain full control over the compromised machine if you chose to. I mean, because being that this must be running at a level that has, you know, was it UAC authority?
Yeah,
where
sure.
It can run things at admin level. One thing that people usually don't realize is anti-cheat software has to pretty much run at admin level. So if it's somehow attaching to that at all, a lot of times people run their games and they're not having it prompt them every time it loads the game too. They could be running the game at admin level. A lot of times they do, especially if they have certain softwares that are doing overlays and things like that. You almost have to get your push to talk to work. You have to have admin access on a game sometimes. So it's pretty common that someone would be running an admin where anything could be installed if they're taking advantage of this. I would hope that Apex Legends is going to patch this as quickly as possible. Like, this should be their main priority because they can't run tournaments. They can't, because this got off easy. They could do much worse than what they did. They could format machines, do total takeovers, encrypt their file systems, everything.
This is it's pretty wild.
Wasn't expecting this because you figured it's been out, as you said, 3 years this bug's been known. Apex Legends has been out for years. You figured if there's this big of a bug in it, you would have heard a big things happening before now.
Yeah.
And I mean, you do have to accept a request, so it has to be someone. You know, that's where PH kind of hinted at. You know, his buddy said, can you play? You know, was it his friend who installed the aimbot on his machine, hoping that he'd continue to play and it would have stayed under the background and nobody would have noticed? I don't know.
Well, I mean, the guy was streaming on Twitch, so that sure as hell wasn't a good idea if that was the case.
Well, but normally what they'll do is hide. They can make it so that it doesn't show that, but I think there has to be some extra configuration with the streaming software, I assume.
Yeah, it shows on the screen, but not on the desktop capture. They find some way to do that out. Maybe you're doing a game capture instead of a screen capture or something like that. But in terms of Apex, it's still a really popular game. I mean, this is the SteamDB chart for 84,000 people playing. 370,000.
370. That's good.
Its all time peak was a little over a year ago. Which for a game that has been out since November of 2020, it's been out longer than that, but I think this is when it first showed up on
Steam.
But the fact is it's still there, and if you look at all of the games on Twitch, it's well within the top 10. Right between Call of Duty and Rust, which I would argue are very popular titles. What is Crab Game? Why is this so popular? First-person multiplayer.
Is it one of those physics-based games? Let's see.
I don't know, but a lot of people are playing it right now. I'm not sure.
Do they have any?
Oh, it's running on Unity, so Brian has no idea what this is.
they do Unreal Engine games.
Yeah, let's see. What is this, and why is it so popular, right? Oh, it's Squid. Oh, it's a Squid Game ripoff. Yeah.
Yeah. That's funny.
Interesting. Well, the more
he's
you know.
Do this until he gets sued.
How much is this game? Oh, it's free to. Oh, it's free to play. That's pretty cool.
That's why it's on the top.
Yeah, good. Oh, okay, maybe I'll. I wonder if I can run this on my VR headset. That'd be fun.
Have it be realistic.
I just have to find time to do that. I don't even have time to watch YouTube videos or even look at video games. The idea that I think I'm going to have time to set up my VR headset and actually play something is a pipe dream.
Hey, summer's coming. I'm sure you'll have plenty of
time. Oh yeah. Well, what you want to know what I was doing Friday afternoon, Brian? Drinking heavily at the beach at noon. So now I can guarantee you that will not be happening
wear your VR headset along. At the beach, and then you're set.
Hmm. Wonder what the reaction to that would be.
You, if you play long enough, you'll have just a sunburn you didn't realize.
Yeah, and I'll have a huge, talking about like a farmer's tan. I'll have like
a big white spot right in the middle of your head.
Yeah, and the wrap around with the whole thing that goes around the rest of your head. I mean, yeah, I'd look like a great
people
be
like,
moron.
That guy's a winner.
Yeah. Wow, let's go. I want to get that guy's number. The guy that's sitting at the beach playing Steam VR chat. Like, that's great. Yeah, yelling obscenities in public. Well, that's interesting. I guess we'll keep an eye on this and see what Easy Anti-Cheat has to say, and specifically what Apex Legends and their folks have to say. I guess hopefully by next week, and see what comes up.
Yeah, they've got to have a patch out soon for this, so we'll see.
Definitely.
Do you want to talk about Apple, or do you want to talk about some FTC things?
I would love to talk about the FTC.
All right.
Lena Khan sucks.
Yeah, your favorite person in
I'll just lay this out. I'll just lay this out here. Lena Khan, who is another great cabinet-level pick by the Biden administration to lead the Federal Trade Commission, is terrible at her job. She is a progressive leftist. She hates business. She hates success. She hates anything, seemingly anything. And she loves there's one thing she doesn't hate, Brian, and that is losing. She seems to really enjoy using federal dollars, taxpayer dollars, to bring ridiculous legal challenges against, in good standing operating corporations and try and block mergers and deals that they are in. The Federal Trade Commission of the United States is responsible for claims consumer protection. That's supposed to be the goal of the FTC, so that monopolies don't exist. Yeah, of course, power companies are monopolies. Water utilities, they're all monopolies. But that's the goal of the FTC. That's what they're supposed to be doing. And you'll remember this name, Lena Khan, if you listened to our show and followed us through the process of the Activision Blizzard merger, because the United States government was very adamantly against, specifically the FTC, adamantly against that merger taking place.
And she's still filing things with the courts to try to prevent that merger still. She's the only person in the whole world, only group in the whole world, still going against that merger that has been done. And
this
she's
is
trying
true.
To prevent it still. Every other country in the whole world has signed off on it. We've technically signed off on it, but she's still suing Microsoft and Activision Blizzard to try to prevent that merger from happening. And she's had four losses in a row. She's had four different things. The last four things that she's tried to do, they've lost. There's an article here from The Hill I want to read you the title of this. Internal emails show FTC's Lena Khan is trying to win by losing. That's their claim. You know, because she couldn't be wrong. And I don't know. They try to back this up. They say, in fact, losing appears to be your strategy. The committee report states career FTC staff members expressed concern that Chair Khan did not want the FTC to be successful and purposely put staff in a position to complete poor work product and even brought losing cases on purpose. Plainly stated, one manager wrote to another manager that I'm not sure being successful or doing things well is a shared goal, as the chair wants to show that we can't meet our mission mandate without legislative change. So she's not trying to actually prove anything. She's trying to say we can't do anything without more government overreach. That's really what she's saying. She wants them to make law changes so that she has the ability to go in and do these without the courts, is what she's hoping for. I mean, that's what I gather from that statement. They say in here, in other words, it is apparent to staff that the chair did not share staff's goals of completing quality work and winning cases because the chair wants to force Congress to enact legislative change instead of winning cases in litigation.
Huh. That sounds very familiar to something else I hear from the Biden administration. Maybe with the southern border, Brian, the only solution is congressional change, not using executive action, which has always been used in the past and hasn't been a problem in past administrations. Maybe I'm getting...
Well, yeah,
that's always funny
when Biden says, I can't do anything about it. Well, you can. Why are you the one who doesn't know what you can do? You're the only person who doesn't know what you can do.
Well, and for... as I stated previously, as a progressive radical, which Lena Khan is, this is exactly what I would expect, is you notch up a bunch of losses, you get in front of some House subcommittee or for whatever that some Democrats running, or in front of a Senate committee, and you plead your case and you cry that the times have changed.
I can't fight the man.
I think the FTC started in, like, you have to correct me on this, like 1911 or 1912. It's been around forever. And claim that the times have changed so much.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Pretty close. I am up to date on a couple things. I do follow the news. Contrary to what people, some of my detractors may believe, I actually do know a thing or two about what I'm talking about. Some waterworks show about how things have changed over the last however many hundred plus years, and it's time for Congress to step up and do these things. And if that's the goal, I guess in that regard, she's doing a hell of a job. Unfortunately, her time is rapidly running out if things don't go her way in November. Because she not only will be out of a job.
Strategy's not working, yeah.
Yeah, definitely not. And unfortunately for her, there are so many other big issues that are being dealt with right now that I'm not sure that that's necessarily going to work over. However, apparently Amy Klobuchar, Elizabeth Warren, and Josh Hawley apparently...
Which I don't know how Josh Hawley is going to help her.
Because
He's pretty conservative.
Yeah, he is.
I don't know what...
He is,
unless
but the problem...
Unless it's a particular case of something that he, for some reason, has an opinion about.
Well, this is the problem with good... And Josh Hawley, I think, is a good, strong, conservative person, but they can be very easily misled into believing that... some might argue the federal government has no business being in the Department of Monopolies or antitrust in the first place. I'm not saying this sarcastically. I'm not making that point, but that would be a point that people would make, especially when, again, the claim is there's no monopolies, yet you have one choice for a power utility. Those groups control your rates almost exclusively themselves. There's very little oversight into that whole process. There's plenty of monopolies that the federal government allows to operate. And not only allows to operate, but seemingly helps in their process of obtaining what can only be described as a monopoly by textbook definitions of it. I'm not sure why Josh Hawley's name is on this list. That's pretty disappointing.
Yeah, I just thought it was kind of odd that they threw him in there. I mean, it's got to be the Hill trying to say, well, and Republicans, not just Democrats.
Well, this isn't the Hill. This is coming from a group. This is an opinion article.
But they're quoting it, yeah.
I do like the Hill, because the Hill is a good group. But this is from a group known as the Antitrust
Education Project.
Yeah, that's them. That's their group. And that's good to hear and good to see. I don't know anything about this.
This seems to be a strategy. You brought up the southern border. If you really look at that, seems to be the same strategy there. They are claiming that they don't have the ability to do their jobs effectively, and that legislative change needs to happen in order to enforce the southern border. So they're doing their job as poorly as possible so they can say, see, we can't do it through the natural means. We need you to put more laws and more control over people, or do this or do that. You know, and for her, it seems to be a very poor way to do this, because as she's running out, as you said, running out of time. We're coming up into an election. She's not going to, I really don't think she's going to have a second term to try to finish this. If she had two full terms, she could then go back and say, let's say they won back some of the House and did all this. She can go say, see, antitrust law is too weak. We didn't have the ability to stop these bad guys because it's just not, you know, strong enough. We need to make the antitrust law stronger. So then they can come in and say, Twitter, it's a danger to democracy. You know, all these companies, you know, list off whoever they don't like at the time, danger to democracy, and then put in your antitrust laws. It's a way to control business, and you can threaten business. If you want them to do what you like, and say, hey, we'll do this if you don't do what we want. And they want those laws that they can threaten them with.
I mean, it's a pretty good gamble if you can successfully get away with it. I would argue it's a pretty good grift. I don't think anybody would necessarily argue with that. So, props to her props to her for attempting to do that. The Federal Trade Commission. Looking great, Brian.
Yeah, gotta love those guys.
Yeah, they're great. I think we'll just keep that on the rest of the show. I think that looks good.
And one thing I thought interesting is, you know, FTC hits Microsoft with federal complaint over the game division layoffs, you know, because they're claiming that those layoffs contradicted what they said in the antitrust trial. We mentioned this at one point, I think, without really digging into it. But, you know, now they're going after Microsoft because they fired people. And they're saying, you know, that that's the layoffs are inconsistent with Microsoft's claim were that the company would operate independently. Well, we've covered last week, we covered a whole show pretty much on the layoffs and where the industry is at. Were you expecting them to be immune from the industry and be able to, you know, keep whatever they had claimed 2 years earlier because of how long it took to do the whole the acquisition that they did? You're expecting them to hold to those numbers and whatever was happening in the company at that time? Like, they still have to be able to react to the industry, do layoffs, make trims, you know, where they need to trim and do all this. They still have to be able to do that. You can't say, well, now you can't, you know, you're going to have to not be able to, we're going to go to France and you can't fire anybody.
Well,
because, you know.
Okay, I'm not siding with Lena Khan or the FTC on this, but if, and obviously they failed in court, so it doesn't matter what they thought or said was going to happen. But if they claimed that they would not be laying people off as part of the agreement and that was approved, now that was approved by the FTC, and then they did, well, that could be a problem. That's like saying if two airlines are going to merge and you say we're going to keep operating them independently, the FTC gives you a green stamp, go ahead, and then the day that it closes, you say, scrap that, we are now going to take all of those old planes and shut down that airline. Well, that's obviously a huge problem. And I think that's what the complaint is here. It's not that Microsoft shouldn't be allowed to lay people off. It's that they may have said that they weren't, or that it wasn't going to happen in a time period, and it did anyway. Now, that's their fault for promising that if that's the case, but the hell with the FTC. I mean, who cares?
Well, and that's what they said. Microsoft said that layoffs, they're taking issue with the Microsoft's assertion that the layoffs would reduce areas of overlap between Microsoft and Activision.
Sure.
Which then the FTC says, which is inconsistent with Microsoft's suggestion that to the court that the two companies would operate independently post-merger. Well, I don't know that there's still going to be some administrative things that they don't need to happen twice. Yeah, HR. They only need one HR department between the two companies. When they were saying, I think when they were talking about they're going to be independent, the game studios are going to be independent.
Yeah.
The things that are creating the products are going to be independent, but you don't need to have two totally separate. One interesting thing, I don't know if you know this, but I worked for our local power company here a little bit, and because of their laws, like, they have whole floors where employees can't go to certain floors. Like, they have to split it down the middle because power companies have to treat one like they're selling power as a publicly traded whatever.
It's part of the scam that power companies are on.
Yeah, and then you have the other half, which is like the infrastructure and IT that keeps it all happening. And like, you can't walk from one floor to the other. If you have a badge that's one color, you can't go to half of the building, and the other half can't go to the other building, you know, or the floors. It's super regulated.
That's how they keep a mirage of that they're not doing what
being
they're
fair.
Doing. Yeah. In a statement provided to PC Gamer, a Microsoft spokesperson said that the FTC's complaint ignores the reality that the deal itself has substantially changed since Microsoft's statements were made. Since the FTC lost in court last July, and that's an important thing to note here by Microsoft, Microsoft was required by the UK Competition Authority, to restructure the acquisition globally, and therefore did not acquire the cloud streaming rights to Activision Blizzard games in the United States. The representative said, additionally, Sony and Microsoft signed a binding agreement to keep Call of Duty on PlayStation on even better terms than Sony had before. Microsoft also said that the FTC's claims are incomplete and misleading in its formal response to the appeal court, in which it said the layoffs cannot be fully attributed to the merger because, quote, Activision was already planning on eliminating a significant number of jobs while still operating as an independent company. Microsoft continues to fully stand behind its representation to this court. To be clear, while some overlap was identified and some jobs were eliminated, Microsoft has structured and is operating the post-merger company in a way that will readily enable it to divest any or all of Activision's businesses as robust market participants in the unlikely event that a divestiture ultimately is ordered. So they're prepared for some godforsaken thing to happen. They do literally need to split these companies up.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is something, you know, whatever promise was made the problem is they're dealing with so many different negotiators. How can you hold them to one particular negotiation when they have to go to all these countries and make all these promises and make changes? It's almost an impossible deal to really, I think, do in a way to where you can make that promise to everybody, because the UK is going to say one thing and we want you to do this. Then the United States is that, you know, then they rubber stamp and say, okay, we accept it under these terms. Then you have the United States saying, well, you can't quite do it that way. We got to make adjustments. And it was kind of almost an impossible way to hold them to every little detail of what they're saying. You know, they lost in court. I think that's where it pretty much ends. Lena Khan just needs to learn to move on, in my opinion, because they've lost this. And I don't know, as you said, the long-term goal, like whatever long-term game she was trying to play to make some sort of regulations appear in government. I don't think those are going to happen. Now,
wow,
things could happen, but I don't think they're going to happen.
Don't read the comments on the PC Gamer article. It is a cesspool of idiots and morons commenting. It's just you wonder how these people even made their way to the comment section and successfully were able to type in a comment based on some of the stupid, idiotic things that they were saying. So,
And I want to make one note. The CMA, you remember the UK watchdog, the CMA?
Yeah. It's not a watchdog. It's equivalent to the FTC in the UK. Yeah. It's a federal authority.
They put out a new comment on it saying they no longer think Microsoft Activision Blizzard merger is a threat to console competition.
On how so much they spent, you know, they for that.
To get them to make that statement. But so really, Brian, they were the second place holdouts. Yes.
I'm calling you out. This article is almost a year old.
Well, that's when this originally happened, but. It's been updated since then. It was edited. March. Oh, I tell you.
March of 2023.
When I grabbed it, March of 24, they made an update. This is what I put in here for. Microsoft President Brad Smith says his company appreciates CMA's review and believes it underscores a growing consensus that the Activision Blizzard Pact will create more competition.
Yeah, that says 3/24 as in March 24, 2023.
Oh, well, I was thinking it was March of 2024.
Yeah. Nevertheless.
Oh, well. Anyways, CMA came around, right? That was what I was
getting. Eventually, yeah, of course. They were trying to flex their
FTC
muscles.
FTC is the only one left.
Yeah, which, you know, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I have any insight into this at all because I really don't understand. I don't even know how the merger happened. With the Federal Trade Commission still battling them in court. The whole thing is really fuzzy and complicated to me. I really don't understand it very well. All I know is it happened. And apparently they're the same company now. So we'll see.
I don't know that anything can hold them back now.
No, when did this close? Was it in like October or something?
Let's see. Microsoft. Activision.
Yeah, I mean it's been a couple of at least a couple of months at this point since this was
October 13th.
Okay, so we're at 6 months, over 6 months at this point since it's closed.
And they're still fighting it.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Enjoy the FTC. Enjoy Lena Khan. We'll see. We'll see if she's got greener pastures ahead besides losing seemingly everything that they bring forward.
So let's talk about Apple here for a minute, because this is something we didn't cover last week because we covered the, the wonderful industry health news.
Sorry. before you move to the Apple thing, I also want to bring that up in regards to this. Like, Microsoft is a shady scumbag company, just like all, like everybody else. Like, I'm not trying to pull any punches here for Microsoft. But we did spend the entire show last week talking about how the video game industry is literally a dumpster fire right now.
Yeah.
There's been almost as many game layoffs in the first 3.5 months of the year as there was all of last year, all of last calendar year. So it just seems to me to be kind of like a BS thing to be like, well, you said that you weren't going to do anything. And it's like, well, yeah. And here is the ruins of what is left in the video game industry. So sorry, but like, it's not like we're the only ones. I mean, everybody's doing it. It's all the cool kids are doing it. I think that's kind of important to note as well.
Yeah, it seems like they're just really tone deaf. I mean, if you're going to complain, you had to lay people off. You said you weren't going to lay anybody off. I think every company in the industry has now laid people off. I mean, from what I've seen, it just seems like every major company has. I mean, there may be some small studios out there that haven't laid people off, but every single major studio that I can think of has been laying people off. So
absolutely,
keep that in mind.
Not even a question.
So there was something that happened a couple weeks ago where Epic was supposed to be getting their, you know, there was a court case that happened over in Europe, and Epic was supposed to be able to put their app store on Apple's app store to allow people to install it and then install, you know, Fortnite and things like that on cell phones. Now, this supposedly had completed. Apple got their orders of what they were supposed to do. And now, supposedly, something happened that was not in good faith. Once the Epic went and applied to have their developer license over in Europe, it was then their whole thing was canceled. Their developer account was canceled that they were going to use to publish their app. Now, Apple told these people, here was an update from 10 days ago. Apple has told us and committed to the European Commission that they will reinstate the developer account. This sends a strong signal to developers that the European Commission will act swiftly to enforce the Digital Markets Act and hold gatekeepers accountable. We are moving forward as planned to launch the Epic Game Store and bring Fortnite back to iOS in Europe onward. And this was from Epic Games' official blog. But they, there was a period of time, and they were getting a lot of flack. There was a lot of people saying, you can't trust flack, you can't trust Apple. You know, a lot of developers were like, I don't feel comfortable putting all my eggs in your basket. If this is how when you feel like there's competition against you or something you don't agree with, you cancel their whole. Imagine if this was something that had a game that was going and it had a lot of revenue that was being generated. Like, this could destroy a company, you know, just canceling. Epic's big enough to handle it. I mean, they were able to handle not being on Fortnite because they have a lot of other places that they're making money.
I struggle with this one a little bit. Not an Apple fan. I do use their phones because I think they make the best phones on the market. I will say that. Full transparency. Yeah. But this is the unfortunate reality, Brian, of you as a company giving up your... giving up's not even the right word to use. If you're building your platform and the only way that you're able to do that is through somebody else's platform that you don't own, that you don't control, that you're not a major shareholder or stockholder in, and you have no control over, this is part of the risk. It's not good. I don't enjoy it. I do think Apple is a shady. I think I had a dream. I don't know what was happening the other night. I had this dream, and I was like looking to buy like a MacBook or something like that. I don't know what was going on.
Yeah.
This was like way back, and I don't know what was happening. I promise you, I wasn't under the influence of anything. And don't you remember to watch the Apple keynotes back in the day? You had to watch them on a Mac. You could not watch them on a Windows computer. I mean, this is the company we're talking about. A keynote for them to presumably get their products into more people's hands. You had to already own one of their products to watch their keynotes. Yep. Like, what a moronic thing to do.
Even developing an iPhone app or, you know, an iOS app, you had to use an Apple device to create those. They didn't create they didn't allow you to use an SDK of some sort on a Windows machine to develop. And there's no reason for it. I mean, they're fully capable of putting out the tools, but they wanted to force you to compile and make the app on an Apple device to release it then on the Apple Store. I mean, this is just how they work. So, yeah, as you said, I'm not really surprised because this is something they've been doing for a long time. But, you know, the problem is this is truly kind of a monopoly. I mean, if you look, we were talking about monopolies a minute ago.
Sure.
You look at the whole iPhone, Android, you're locked pretty much. What's we showed the third party device a couple weeks ago.
Don't make me do this again, Brian. Okay.
We showed the $1,000, open source phone. That's your third option. That works only in 4G, because, I mean, forget 5G. You don't need that, right? We want to make sure we don't get over 2 megabits per minute or per second. You know, this is the world we're at. You want to talk about monopoly. This is one that I'm really, kind of like you, I think, struggle with how do we deal with it. Because we really are locked in this little ecosystem that Android lets you install a third-party app store. There you go, the
Librem 5. This thing looks like Librem, this thing is larger than like my 2400 milliamp hour portable battery charger. I mean, this thing looks like what was the audio streaming device that Microsoft made? That was just a literal rectangle. It was huge. The Zune. It was. This looks like a Zune. So, Brian, how dare you on this program use this, our shared program here, how dare you use our airwaves to say that you do not have an option when you have the Librem 5 as your potential phone? The thing is the size of a microwave.
It's only like a 5-plus-year-old phone that's still over $1,000.
Gosh. Yeah.
Because did it come out like, it came out before, like in 2019 or something like that? They released that versions was released. Maybe
I'm
they're updating
sure.
versions.
I think they've got new versions. It's just a brick of a phone.
And so that's your out. Like you say, well, if you don't like it, go use something else. You don't really have that option in the phone market. Honestly, unless you're willing to go with something super subpar.
But see, here's the thing. And you don't have that option in so many facets of your life. Internet's changing a little bit, and a lot of that is thanks to 5G and Elon Musk and Starlink, where you can now go to a cell phone provider and get a network puck that you connect as your home internet, and it's coming off of a cell phone tower. That's made it a lot more accessible.
Starlink created a real alternative to broadband.
Sure. Absolutely.
It didn't really exist before.
But go back 5 years even, and your option was in many cases one telco provider. It was probably a DOCSIS 3 connection from a company like Spectrum or Cox that was providing that. In some areas you had AT&T and Verizon Fios. And that's been it. And for many people, it's just, I mean, growing up the entire time I lived home until just in the last, I think, 2 or 3 years, maybe 5 years, the only option in the house that my parents still live in was DOCSIS 3 cable. Now they were able to get Fios and get some fiber, so they're good to go now. But there's so many things that are like that, Brian. It's not just cell phones. It's not just internet providers or things like that. There's so many different elements where the barrier to entry is so high to get into some of these things, like rolling out an ISP or building a phone. But again, I go back to you as a company. If you make your business selling an app on somebody else's platform that you don't have control over, it's a risk.
Yep.
It's a risk of doing business. I hate to say that. I know that makes me probably sound like a scumbag, but it is. I mean, If that's what you build, if I build all of the websites I ever build on WordPress, and then WordPress decides tomorrow that they can do something to nuke every WordPress install that's ever happened across the world and shut down 90% of the internet, you built it on their platform. Now, that's probably different because that's open source, but you get my point with that. I mean, you invest into an ecosystem.
Let's say they quit maintaining it, and all of a sudden there's vulnerabilities that come out. You're stuck on that platform dealing with those vulnerabilities.
Either sure.
You pay for somebody to fix them, you fix them yourself, or you move to a different system.
Absolutely. So it sucks. I mean, it's no different than the developers that build games on Steam. I mean, if Steam decides they want to remove your game, yeah, that's a problem.
You're stuck.
You're stuck. And this is why people have to quote unquote play the game, because this is it. This is the game. You either play it or you don't.
And it's not necessarily purely with iPhone. It is, but with Android, it's less so. Amazon tried to come out with an alternate marketplace.
They did.
And they did for a while. They tried giving away games all the time and doing all these different things. It really comes down to, if they want to solve this problem, what I think would really solve it is they need to come out with a standard for mobile applications. Something that, because right now we can look at Apple versus Microsoft when it comes to operating systems on computers. You either have something that's Windows, you know, you have Linux, which is open source, which kind of leads into this example, but you'll have things that are made for iOS and you'll have things that are made for Windows. And that's pretty much the two operating systems that most companies make their applications for. The limitation is, you know, you could go and use Linux and you can use open source, but the problem is companies aren't spending the resources to always make the application for that third device. And that's the exact same thing with phones. What's really holding it back is companies wanting to make a third version of their application.
I will say this, though, in regards to your argument about PC versus Mac, what we have seen a lot over the last 5 or 10 years is more and more companies making web versions of their application available.
Which is a solution. Yep.
And you know why that's actually happening? It's because of a third party. A lot of this is happening because of Chrome OS, which is rolling out in schools and universities mm-hmm. at a rapid rate. So OWA, the Office Web Application, I think that's what it stands for, their whole suite now, Microsoft Word, Excel, PowerPoint, all of that runs in the cloud. Google never made software for any of this stuff. It was only ever available via the cloud in Gmail with Google Sheets and Present or whatever the hell they call their thing. Even today, somebody sent me a link of something, and it was an iCloud link for an Excel sort of file, and I was able to open and download and convert that to a format I needed. So that's happening at least on the PC side, and I think for a lot,
a little more difficult in apps on phones though, because on a computer you can have it launch in a web page or equivalent, and you can do all these things. Phones are a little more locked down and more restrictive to where it's more difficult for them to accomplish all the things they want in a phone's web browser. You know, it's possible, but you don't have notifications popping up because of restrictions.
That's true.
That's where it really comes down to. Phones are a little bit different. That's where I think maybe putting in things to go to more of a uniform way of creating the apps, which, as you said, PCs have done it through just allowing them to make web apps that can launch and look like a regular desktop app
mm-hmm.
and they can frame it like that, but it's really a web page and code running in the background like that. How they're going to accomplish that and fix that with phones, I think, is going to have to come down to, which I hate, regulation. I think they're going to have to, if they really wanted to fix this, say we need to come up with a industry standard of how applications are made that will work on either platform or any platform as long as it follows certain standards. I don't see either company wanting to do that because they control it. But for a third party to come in, you need to create a way for them to create apps that can install on all three. You know, we'll create a third fictional competitor that's not Linux or anything like that, that can run these apps just like the other two platforms can. You know, it could run on Linux as well, But they I think that's the only way you're going to solve these problems. We're going to continue having these issues until we come up with a standard that will allow it, companies that make these applications not have to create it individually for every single platform they make.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think we're seeing a little bit of it. Again, as you noted, it is significantly harder to do this on phones than it is on the desktop. But I guess the you know, the one thing that you do see is that more and more websites have mobile friendly is not the right word to use anymore, because mobile friendly websites have existed for 15 plus years, but like actual websites that you can use exclusively on mobile. It is the equivalent of having an app, even though there might not be an app available in that store. Obviously for a game, right? In this case, we're talking about Fortnite. That's not, that's not seemingly feasible or possible. But who knows what the future holds?
Yeah. Well, and this is something that's still ongoing. Right now, Epic is disputing Apple's demand for legal fees. You know, and this is something I was trying to see if there was an update in the last couple of weeks, but there's Epic is saying that Apple's $73.4 million fee is excessive, because they're wanting them to pay the $73 million legal fee that they took to dispute this. You know, they went to a court and said this. It's waiting for Judge Gonzalez Rogers, who presides over the case, to answer the question. You know, and I don't know. I don't see in here anywhere where there, if there's any dates on when that's going to happen. But, you know, I thought Epic won. Didn't Epic win this? I thought. I mean, isn't the winner supposed to be the one who doesn't have to pay the legal fees for the other side? I don't know. I think it's,
well, it's when
still
you
going back and forth.
When you win a case, that comes with that. I mean, there are still stipulations that, unless it's an outright 100% you lost, you won, there are always
stipulations. And I don't think it was a clear line in the sand of here's the winner. There was kind of back and forth for both sides. So
absolutely.
We'll see if they end up having to pay that. But I'm sure that maybe will be split or something like that if they feel that Apple shouldn't have to pay the whole thing.
I'll say this. I don't know Tim Sweeney, never met Tim Sweeney, probably will never meet Tim Sweeney. I do genuinely believe that he is on a crusade for the right reason. Obviously, he is in charge of Epic. Mm-hmm. Epic is a very large, successful, profitable company, so there are, of course, always ulterior motives. But it just seems like to me that Tim Sweeney is really... I feel like he's actually battling and fighting for everybody in regards to this.
For what he feels is right, correct? I mean,
yeah, because at the core, he's a nerd, he's a developer, that's who he's always been, and I think he's fighting this stuff, I believe, for a good reason. It's hard. Obviously, that could all be BS. He could have some crazy ulterior motive, but that's genuinely what it seems like.
Yeah, and I think that he feels like he's doing this for the greater good.
Yes, you know, I do.
And he may chase some things that legally or logically doesn't always make sense, you know, if it's something he feels is the right thing to do. But I think most of the things that he's been pushing are the right types of things. We're trying to cut down on the costs of delivering a game to market, because that's really what he's trying to do, because that helps his clients in the end. If you look at what Unreal Engine is really, what their whole goal is to be able to make games successful, because when a game is successful, they make more money.
Sure.
And so if they can get it to where it costs less to put a game, especially, I mean, this is the perfect example of the economy right now and how studios are working at the moment. A 30% fee on top of a studio right now could be the difference between profit and loss easily. I think most people are teetering on profitability, and 30% is a huge number, where when the gaming industry was striving and just going crazy, 30% is something you could be like, okay, well, that's just the cost of doing business. But right now it could be somebody's, you know, employment, or a whole group's employment is going to be decided based on these costs of getting to market. And so, I think it's a good thing. He does 30%. If you think that your service is worth 30%, then provide things to prove it. whether it's CDNs, all the extra services. But a lot of times, people are paying 30% for and not reaping any benefits from that or minimal benefits from that. Because that's a pretty huge number for, let's say you have a small, little, simple game that doesn't take, doesn't get updated a bunch and doesn't need a bunch for downloads. What's that being, what's being accomplished with Steam with the 30% fee?
They're getting away pretty good. Space. Yeah.
And I feel like it's kind of like the socialist thing of they're covering the cost of maybe games that are putting out constant updates, huge updates. They're spreading the wealth around. Well, that's really hurts the small developer who isn't using all those resources that still has to put out 30%.
Yeah.
Make a tiered structure. That would be fair. If you use a lot of resources, charge for the resources. Then you won't have to put a blanket huge charge on everybody, which is what they're claiming. But we need to be able to cover these expensive costs. If I'm not using any of your resources, I don't want to pay for it.
As a
client.
I'm going to disagree with you a little bit. I don't know that they've made that point that they are required to do that. They do this. I think that's the deal. That's the structure that they've had, and
it just hasn't adapted to I think modern technology and times.
Well, here's the thing. What is your alternative? You go put your game on Epic, Brian. If you don't like Steam's thing, go put your game on Epic.
And I think that's becoming more of a viable thing. 10 years ago, that wouldn't have been a viable thing. You would say, well, there's other launchers out there. Those were all for private companies for their own personal products. There wasn't really a Steam alternative out there. Now you've got Epic, which is really one of the only ones. But hey, at least you have a place where you can go. It's kind of like they're the equivalent of what we were talking about with cell phone apps. They're big enough and they're getting enough incentive. These companies are willing to go make a launcher or put it on their launcher and put updates out for that because Epic is making it worthwhile for them, right? So Epic has made that happen. They're creating that third party option, and I think that's a good thing. And give better deals, make it cheaper. If they're getting a better price, if you want people to use your better price, give them half of what you're saving back in the cost of the game, right? Make it 15% cheaper on Epic. And you still make 15% more, there's still fees on there, but you'll still make 10% more or give them a 10% discount and you make 15% still, right? Because I think there's a 5% fee. That's the way to do it. I think that's becoming more acceptable. There's companies that have made really good sales on Epic Game Store, but that needs to be going forward. Studios just need to, if they don't like one, then go all in on Epic Game Store and try to make it successful. You have enough studios that are successful on Epic Game Store, they won't view Steam as a requirement anymore. Because Steam is a requirement currently.
And we've seen in the past for popular games, like for the longest time, Call of Duty, the only place you could play it was Battle.net, which was the, which is funny enough now, Activision Blizzard, part of Microsoft, but the games are on now Steam Microsoft now. Apex, which we talked about at the top of the show, when that first launched, it was an Origin-only game for the longest time. All of the Division and all the Tom Clancy games are only available on Uplay, and those games still had plenty of things. Now, what I am not advocating for is a whole bunch of half-ass pieced-together launchers, because that's what we had, and they all sucked. But there are alternatives. And one of those alternatives is Epic. And a lot of people already have it because that's the only place to play Fortnite on PC. Fortnite, contrary to what people want to say, is a very popular game. And all of those individuals, they are playing on Epic's launcher. That's the only way they're playing on PC. So there is something there.
And that's where Sweeney, him realizing, well, what's holding people back from just leaving Steam altogether? Well, Steam was handling the networking as far as chat, game invites, the net code as far as the back end, allowing people to play multiplayer in some aspects. So what did Epic do? They turned around and said, we'll offer that free to every platform who wants to use it. Any other launcher, Steam game, if you want to use our tools for your back end, chats and invites and friends and all that. That is something that had to be dealt with for people to walk away from Steam or to launch the same thing on multiple platforms. like on PlayStation, Xbox, all these different places. That's a third party, totally free platform that they can incorporate their game. That kind of makes it that more universal app that I was talking about. So things like that, I mean, that's another example of Sweeney doing something that's costing his company money, but it's a greater good situation. And so it's going to take just every aspect, all those little hitches and things that are holding up from people being able to leave Steam. I think he just has a checklist. Let's tackle it. And I think they've created the ability for people to walk away from Steam for the first time in the last year or two.
Well, and let me say this. I don't think it has to be a full divorce. I mean, that's the thing, is you don't have to say, I'm done. I'm done. I've broken the shackles of Steam. No, I think if there's a good game that's popular, like Fortnite, that you really want to play, you will go and download the Epic Games Store. And if there's other games that are only on sale there, you already have an account. You may or may not already have a credit card on file, and you'll use it. It doesn't have to be a divorce. It shouldn't be a divorce. It should be I use Steam one or the tools. Other. Yes.
But I think that's where, but them being putting it to where you can put a game on Steam with the Epic tools that allows you to step away from the locked in Steam invite, Steam group friends, you know, all those things. Because that's what really locked you into Steam, was if you wanted to play with your friends, you had to be on Steam. You couldn't see the multi-friend group invites.
Well, and that was also, but that issue, I think that's more prominent because of cross-platform play. Now, Epic has provided
that's a newer
option.
Thing that happened. Yeah,
very, very much so.
Used to be you played on Xbox, you played on PlayStation, or you played on Steam. Those are your three options.
But look
in a independent launcher.
Look at Rocket League. I mean, for the longest time, you had a separate friend code for Cynet or whatever the hell the name of that, which actually I think Epic actually owns now. But for the longest time, you played cross-platform on Cynet, and that worked out pretty well too. So I mean, there's a lot of movement. Things are changing rapidly, and the reasons why they're changing can change dramatically. I mean, like, again, cross-platform play is really, really important right now for people. And for games,
Steam hasn't caught up to that wagon. Steam has made no real adjustments to make that.
Steam doesn't
care.
They don't. Yeah. They're not in the.
They want
they
everybody
don't care
in their own little ecosystem.
I wouldn't even argue that they don't want people in their own ecosystem. I don't think they want to. Steam couldn't offer cross-platform play because that's something that has to come from the game engine side. I mean, a Steam invite system would only work if your game supported cross-platform. Steam doesn't want to be involved in that. They want to be your marketplace.
They'd have to release Xbox cross-platform, PlayStation cross-platform tools, and they'd have to provide all that and support it, which is which Epic is doing now.
Yeah, but you're wrong. Epic's doing that because they're providing the game engine, right? That's why it works for Epic. Steam is not providing.
Well,
unless you're building on Source.
Out the tools for Unity. They put out the tools for all the competing engines to use free.
I understand.
You don't have to be in the Epic Store.
But I understand. But I'm saying, the reason it makes more sense with Epic and Unreal is because a vast majority of those cross-platform games are built on their engine. They have a vested interest for their developers to offer cross-platform easy, because it's a big win for their developers. And with Epic's whole model, a rising tide raises all ships. They do better. You make more money as a developer. Tim Sweeney makes more money so he can sue Apple. I mean, it's a very good business model.
Exactly.
But Steam doesn't have the benefit of doing that. And there's no reason for them to. Nobody's using the Source engine. I mean, that's been...
Apex Legends is... that worked out well for me.
Well, you're right. Okay. Very few things are using any of the Source engine. It is not the hot engine that developers are chomping at the bit about. So for them... what the hell do they care whether they support cross-platform? Because, again, it has to come in the launcher. Or it has to come in the engine, rather. That the engine has to support cross-platform play. And Steam doesn't care. They're happy, Brian, charging their 30%, providing a CDN, providing a friends list, and a shop. That's it.
And a slight UI upgrade once a year.
Once a year,
we're working on things.
10 years or whatever. They're happy doing that stuff. They do it pretty well. They do it, I would argue, do that probably better than anybody else in the industry. and they're good to go. And what's his name is over there, fat, dumb, and happy. I don't even know the guy. Gabe Newell. Yeah, he's fat, dumb, and happy. He's good to go. I don't mean that disrespectfully, of course, Lord Gaben, but I mean he's living the dream with Steam.
Well, and I saw a report that was saying that Steam, like their employee salaries are like way above normal industry.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I don't think it's a very big company.
No, and they just kind of run this old, I mean, it's really kind of an antiquated piece of software. If you look at some of the back-end stuff that you see sometimes in Steam when you browse around certain windows.
Yeah, the old Steam
they do things inside of a built-in browser.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a nightmare what's happening in the background. They definitely haven't kept up with the times. But, you know, as you said, a small group of people.
And I think it is. I mean, because, again, for the reality of what they're providing and what they're doing, how much, you know, how relevant is all this stuff anymore? How relevant is some of this stuff for them? I don't think it is.
We'll see over the coming years if Steam actually gets a true competitor. Because Epic is on the verge of being a competitor, but their Steam still has the numbers by far.
Absolutely. And I think as Tim Sweeney and Epic continue to plunge deeper and deeper into this, they will. And that competition will set Steam to maybe make some of these changes and do some of these things.
If they want to maintain people.
Absolutely. And if they don't, then, well, you just have to see what happens. So,
yeah.
Well, that
we've got it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out.
That went very off track. I have no idea how we got onto this topic. Brian, where can people find you?
All right. If you want to find me on X, you can find me at Boise Computer or at Brian Aldridge on Gab, Getter, Shoe Social, the other places. If you want to check out my blog, go check out biteoftech.com or go to our website, goodinfectionpodcast.com, and just go to join us on Discord at the upper right. If you do that, you can go and contact Nick or I directly. We've got a politics area. We've got an ARC section. If you want to go play some ARC, we've got 11 servers running on there. Or just go toss some links into the show news channel and review those before the live show so you can get some input and kind of give some direction to what we do. If you want to watch the live show, we do have Twitch or YouTube available, or Rumble. We upload after the fact. If you want to listen to the podcast form, which is our most popular, just go to the lower right-hand side. There's a lot of different platforms and places that you can listen to that. Pick whichever is your preference. And if you are listening or watching on Rumble, that means we already have the show notes for that particular episode on the website and ready to go. We have a video and audio player built into the page, and then links for everything that we discussed. As you can see, last week we had a lot of different sources for various layoffs and game studio shutdowns and everything else. But you can click all of those or watch videos right on that page. If you want to support us, we do have a support menu option up top, or you can go to infectionpodcast.com/support.
And you can also subscribe to us on our Twitch channel if you are an Amazon Prime subscriber and have all that stuff linked up. We would greatly appreciate that. Brian, thank you very much, my friend. Greatly appreciate a good talk. We'll do it again next week. You can check me out, my daily antics, by downloading the Wilmington's Morning News podcast in your favorite podcast app. You can also visit my website, nickcraig.com, for that. And if you really want to have some fun, follow me on Twitter, X, at Nicholas M. Craig. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for another episode. If you missed any portion of today's wonderful program, you can head on over to our website. It's infectionpodcast.com. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.